The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning, we return to the same theme of exalting Christ. Last week, we talked about exalting Him in our faith and our focus. Talk about exalting Him in our faith. Ultimately, that is in what we believe. As we, think about the fact that God is in control, He knows what's happening and what's going on, and we need to, we honor God and exalt God when we keep trusting Him, even in difficult situations. And He's in control of what's happening, and we can trust Him, and put our faith in Him and believe that what He says is always true. But also we honor Him when we keep our focus upon Him in our lives. He is to have preeminence in everything that goes on in our life. He is to have first place in our life. He is to be the guide of our daily life and everything that really takes place and happens. We want to continue that theme to this Sunday and next Sunday morning, talking about exalting Christ ultimately in our lives. And this morning we talk about exalting Him through two truths, loving Him and being obedient to Him. And we can't really separate those things. If we love Him, the Scripture says we will obey Him. In John chapter 14, beginning with verse, we will look at other verses this morning in this chapter, but we're just going to read starting with verse 21 this morning. John 14, 21 says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said unto him, "Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to know him and make our abode with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." We talk about love, we're reminded of the words of Jesus when he was asked in Mark chapter 12, what was the most important commandment? And he quotes from the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, which the command that God gave to the children of Israel as they began to understand who he was. And he said there that you are to, in verse 29 of Mark 12, 29, he said, "You are to the." Jesus answered and said, "The foremost is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now we don't need to forget that. There is no other gods in this world. We have our media and our world attention saying that everybody is going to get to the same place. Doesn't matter what God we serve. Folks, that's not true. God himself declared, if we believe in faith God, we have to believe his word. There is one God. And God declared himself as being the one. And he said, "Then you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." The second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have again to look at your word and to worship. We ask you to speak to us in our own lives about our love for you and our commitment to you and obedience. In Jesus' name we ask it. I remind you as we start this morning that Christianity is primarily a relationship. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Above everything else, he is to be our focus. He is to be our life. Christianity is a relationship. Sometimes we get confused and we're talking about, and we're going to talk about obedience this morning, and sometimes we get so wrapped up in talking about obedience that we begin to think there's a set of rules and regulations in which we are going to live by, and that if we don't do this and do this and do this, then we're not going to, we're not very close to God and we're not faithful and all of those things. And I'm not taking away from putting away from obedience. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But folks, we need to understand It is a relationship with Jesus that is important. We live out of the relationship with Christ, and because of that relationship of love, then we do what God wants us to do, and we become obedient because of that relationship, not because there's a set of rules or because, you know, there are certain things that the Scripture says we're to do, but we, you know, it all grows out of our relationship with Him. You know, it is a love relationship. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength and things within us. And it's based upon the fact that He loved us enough that He came into the world and gave His life so that we could live, we could have life, and, you know, we could have a relationship with Him. He's done everything necessary for that to happen in our life. And so, you know, He loved us, and that's the reason. And verse John says He is love. He's not just one who performs an action of love. The Bible describes Him literally as love. Therefore, Jesus is saying that if we really understand who God is and know the love that He has for us, then we return Him by loving Him. We exalt Christ by loving Him. You know, the Bible has always been clear about the place that God should have in our lives. There's not any question. If we search Scripture and look at Scripture, we can't escape the fact that the Bible says that He is to have first place in everything in our life. We're to love Him more than anything else in the world. Love Him more than our families and the things that come into this world. You know, folks, I'm telling you, and if we get God in the proper place, then everything else is going to fall into place. And if we have our love for Him focused upon where it ought to be, then we exalt Him by believing Him and trusting Him, and He's going to take care of all the other. And I promise you, when you really love God, it's a lot easier to love your family and love your friends and love the things in which you're supposed to when we have love for God in His proper perspective and in His proper place. You know? But we're confused about what love is in this world. We mentioned the love, everybody. Almost, you know, I think that's what happens. We almost immediately start thinking about our feelings. You know, we talk about love as being something we fall in and out of. Our love is something that just suddenly happens to us. You know, and we, you know, but if you look at the Scripture here and realize what Jesus is saying, first of all, that love is a commandment. Now, I hope that kind of sinks in. We are commanded by God to love. So I think that eliminates the understanding that love is just something you fall in and out of. Lust is what you fall in and out of. Okay? But love is something that we are commanded to do. Now, if we're commanded to do it, we can choose to do it. Okay? Love is not an emotion. Real love is not a feeling or an emotion. And once we accept the fact that love is a commandment, then our perspective is forever changed. Love is no longer that which we fall in and out of. Love is no longer that which just happens. But rather we understand true love for God and other people is a result of obeying the command of God. Now, if love is a command, which it is, and He commands us here to love, I mean, Jesus makes it very clear in the 15th chapter, verse 12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. It's a command. But that means that love is also a choice. Now, we make decisions based in three areas, basically, in our world. We make decisions based on our intellect. That is, if we understand. And sometimes we choose to love based on that, our understanding. You know, whether somebody loves us or somebody's doing what we think they ought to do, and we get a intellectual pattern and picture of what's going on. And so, you know, we can kind of respond based on an intellect, what we can grasp and understand. Well, the absolute truth is there's a lot of things we'll never understand, you know. Some people in this world are simply, almost seem unlovable, okay? So here we are with a command to say we're to love, and yet when we make a decision based on intellect, then how do we make that choice? But most of the time when we're talking about love, we make a choice in the second area, and that's in the feelings or emotions. See, we make a lot of decisions based on how we feel. And that's not only true. We feel something for someone else. That's an emotion, and certainly in relationships, there ought to be some of that. If it wasn't some of that kind of emotion and feeling, we probably never would have got together with people to start with. God intended for us to have some kind of emotional and feelings for others, but love falls into a category. To be able to obey God and to choose to love is not something, as I've already said a couple times, fall in and out of. It's not soap opera kind of love of the world. It is the love that we choose. Now, that's the third way we make decisions in our world. God has deliberately come in when we're saved. One of the things that happens is that God changes our wills. That is, he makes it possible for us to be able to volitionally choose to pattern our life and to go in a direction in which God wants us to go. Now, and the Christian life is lived in the realm of the will. The bottom line is we do what we want to do. If we want to live for God as a Christian, we'll talk about the help that comes in a moment, but as a Christian, one who is born again and truly has a lay relationship with God, as a Christian, we can obey the commands of God and we can choose to live for God. We can choose to head our life in the direction that God wants us to live, and there is no power in the earth, Satan or anybody else, who can keep us from doing what God has commanded us to do if we'll make a volitional choice to say, I'm going to be obedient to God. The Christian life is lived in the realm of the will. So many times God convicts us of things that we ought to do. We ought to be a part of the church. We ought to make our decision to get involved. We ought to be witnesses. Just so many other things that God can convict us of in our relationship with him. We're not careful. We say, well, I just don't feel like doing that. Or I've been hurt in the past and I don't want to have to deal with this. And so I've made up my mind. I'm not going to be obedient to God. And so we just go ahead and live with that. And we don't trust people anymore. We don't trust the church anymore. And we don't trust all the things that are going on anymore. And so, ultimately we make a choice to go in the direction that we want to go and to hold on to our choice. See, we're living the realm of the will. If we want to change that as a Christian person, we can change that by making a different choice. A choice to love God, a choice to be obedient to God, a choice to do what we know God wants us to do within his will. Now, you think about that. It's pretty easy to illustrate in various other ways, but think about it in marriage. I think probably every married couple, that it ever comes along, you say, why are you getting married? Well, because we love each other. But what do they mean by that love? Some people say, some of us is in the, worry about our kids, getting married, and say, well, what you going to live on? We're going to live on love. Well, you're going to get hungry, you're going to be living without water and electricity. We live in that kind of world. There's going to come a point in every one of our lives when the emotion and the excitement and the feelings are going to die away. And everybody who's ever been married for any point in time are going to realize that somewhere along the way, you're going to have to make a choice to say, I'm going to stay in this relationship and I'm going to make this thing work. I don't feel like loving you, but I choose to do it anyway. Now, every marriage has come to that place at some point in their life where you make that choice. You know, this decision to continue to love. You know, that's not only true in marriage, it's true in all the other things of this world. You know, we have to make a decision to follow Christ. The atheist comes along and says, well, there is no God, but we make a decision to continue to believe and know that there is and to trust Him. Our schools are told, and you know, you got to teach evolution and all those things. And folks, I'm going to tell you, they don't have any proof for evolution. They have some proofs of changes that have taken place within a certain realm. But evolution begins with a concept that it has to be true. And if evolution is true, which is the basis of their theory, then it has to go back millions of years in order for these changes to happen. So when they come along and say, well, the world is a billion years old and we found some kind of creature that lived 300,000 years ago, folks, I turn the channel off. Because what they have done is they have assumed that evolution is true. In order for it to be true, then this is what has to have happened. It had to take a million years in order for that change to take place. Well, let me tell you something. I simply choose to still continue to believe in the God of creation. And in the end, they've never disproved that, never will disprove that, because God created our world and everything is in it. So we make a choice to be obedient to God. Do you believe what the false theories of, have brought us to? You know, and then science comes in and tells us, well, what you believe is just not rational. Well, so we make an irrational decision if necessary, but we still choose to be obedient to God and to believe that what God says. You see, even though it's not completely obvious to us or to the world, folks, I'm telling you something. God loves us. And we still can make a choice to be obedient to the unseen and loving God. Now, we can't reach out and touch Him. We can't reach out and put our hands on Him. And all these atheists and others saying, well, that's unreal. You can never see God. You can never understand God. You can never touch God and all those kind of things. It doesn't matter. We choose to be obedient to God. We choose to love God. We choose to know that there's a God there. And I tell you, when you do, you'll know it. It'll be an assurance in our hearts that it is all true and that God is there and He will meet our needs and we can know that He's in control of every circumstances. Sometimes in the midst of grief, somebody is taken from us and our hearts are hurting what do you do? You choose to love anyway. We may not understand. You see, our decision to live in the Christian life is not based on our understanding. We may never understand this world. And people are always saying, well, we'll understand when we get to heaven. Maybe, maybe not. When we get to heaven, it might not be important. No, that's the whole point. We'll grow up in our relationship with God. We may not ever understand, but I tell you something, we still make a choice to be obedient to God. It is a choice. It's a command that we are to love God, and then we make a choice that we say, okay, love is a choice. I choose to be obedient to God. And the wonderful thing is that God's commandments are God's enablements. So once we make the choice to love God, then He enables us to keep that commandment. But then one other thing about love. Love is not only a command, love's not only a choice, but love is an action. Love is something we do. It's not something we feel. It's something you do. You see, it's an action. Love gets a lot of lip service in the world. But oftentimes you don't see anything to back it up. See, I'll tell you, many couples talk about, when they're breaking up. And if you sit in counseling sessions with people and people who are having difficulties and problems, I hate to exaggerate by giving you a number because I don't know. But I've heard it so many times where a couple will come in, they're in difficulty, and they say, well, I love him or I love her, but I just can't live with that anymore, okay? You know, if I was sitting in marriage counseling with my wife, I'm saying, I love her with all my heart, but I'm tired of the junk. You know, you have to make a path to get through sometime into the living room, okay? That don't have nothing to do, I choose to, didn't mean to embarrass her, but I choose to love her, okay? I choose to love her. It's an action. You stay there anyway. It's not something you give up on because there's some action or feeling that you don't like. You know, whatever it is, if you love, you choose to love. You stay there. Okay. But see, love is an action. You prove that. Now, you know, and I do everything. I try to do everything I know how to do to prove that I love her. Some of you men, listen to me. I bring her coffee to bed every morning. With something to eat, some kind of snack or something before she ever gets up out of bed. Every morning. Okay? Now, that don't necessarily prove my love. It's just, that's one of the actions. Okay? My point is this, folks. If you love somebody, you do actions that prove that love. You know, whatever, and it may not be coffee. She may not, you know, you may live a wife that don't drink coffee. Fine, find some other way to meet her need, okay? And to say, I love you, and I want to do this because I love you. You know, there's five love languages. Books talk about that there's five basic characteristics and things that you know, people love and that meets love needs. Well, find out what, you know, some people live and never have discovered what love need their partner really has, and they never give it to them. When, you know, love is an action. We choose to love. Now, let's leave the family and the home and all those things out there, and let's come back to where we're supposed to be. We love God. What's the result of loving God? Our actions. We say, I love God and never talk to Him. I love God and we never pick up His Word, which gives His instructions about who we are, how to build our relationship, and how to love with God. I love God, but I am not going to be faithful to worship. As far as I'm concerned, it throws up a red flag. You don't love God very much if you're not willing to take some action. To be faithful, I love God, and we only show a passing interest of loving other people. Folks, His command is that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, all of our mind and strength. If we really love Him, want to be with Him, want to talk to Him, want to communicate with Him, want to fellowship with Him, you know. Then also the second command is we love our neighbors ourselves. Part of that is loving the family of God. We want to be with the church, love the family of God. Now, all of us got our faults and all of us got our disagreements. There's some people that, you know, we dislike. There's some people almost unlovable. That doesn't give an excuse. You see, love is not based on whether somebody acts right or does right or acts the way we want them to act. It is based upon the fact that God's commanded us to do it, and therefore we are to do it. And we're the ones that's responsible for our own actions. Love is a choice that we make that results in an action that we take to prove that our love to each other. In 1 John 3:18, it said, my little children, let us not love the world. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We prove our love by our actions. So God says we're to love Him. We're to exalt Him by loving God. We love God how? By obeying His command. Because love is a command. Love is a choice. Love is an action. We do something to say, that proves my love for God. Now that brings us to the second point, which is obedience. We exalt God through obedience. For you say, how can you separate obeying the command to love God and understanding that love is a choice without saying, I'm going to be obedient to God? You can't separate those two things. In 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. So many times we talk about obeying God, and we act like that's the most horrible thing that's ever going to take place. You mean, I've got to obey God. I've got to come to church and worship Him. I've got to get up and read my Bible. I've got to do, you know, the things that build that relationship with God. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. The commands of God are not a burden. The commands of God are what brings joy and peace and happiness and builds that relationship with Him. And our lives will be better when we learn that truth. See, obedience is, and the very foundation of obedience is the will of God. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells a story that we know so well about two men who built their houses on two different foundations. One of them built it, you know, on sand, the other on rock, and when the storms came, the one fell, and one, you know, the other one stood. What was the difference? It was the foundation. And Jesus said, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, either I will liken it to the wise man which built his house upon the rock. See, hearing the will of God from the Word and then obeying Him and doing that will is what is the foundation from which our life is built upon as a Christian. Obeying Christ is the foundation of the Christian life. It is the real test of our love for Christ. It's whether we build our life on that foundation of obedience to His will. And I promise you, there's never a time that your ideas are better than God's. And then not only is there a foundation to that obedience in our relationship, the will of God, but there's a fellowship of obedience. See, in John 14, verse 15, it said, which backs up in a basic text today, it said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See, obeying the Lord is our response to love. Obedience has always been and will always be the acid test of our love for God. You can't love God and not obey Him. That's what Jesus said. You can't, and you can, well, we can obey God for a lot of different reasons. We can obey God because we feel it's our duty or our obligation, or we're afraid, you know, that if we don't do this, that somebody is, you know, something bad's going to happen to us. But let me tell you something. You can obey without loving, but you can't love without obeying. Obedience is the real test of our fellowship with God. Are we fellowshipping with God in a relationship and growing and building? Well, John 14:21, we read it a moment ago. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I'll manifest myself to him. You want God to be shown to us and revealed to us? It comes as we love God and we prove that love through obedience. John 15:10 said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You want to have the kind of relationship that Jesus had with the Father and abide in that kind of love? He said, this is how it happens. The fellowship with the Father. We'll experience the love of Jesus. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. See, we're talking about living the Christian life once we are saved. And there's not, we're not talking about losing our salvation. Tonight in 1 John is one of the most difficult passages to help us to understand, because it's talking about, you know, if we just pick that passage up out of context, it would almost sound like in John 3 that God's commanded us to live perfect lives. And that our salvation depends upon that. But that's not the case. If you want to know, you know, read 1 John chapter 3 tonight, and then we'll come back and we'll be walking through that passage and discussing it. We're not talking here necessarily about salvation and what I'm talking about this morning. We're talking about fellowship with God. We're talking about our Christian life being what it ought to be, the fellowship we have with Him. You see, if we disobey God, we don't, you know, if we're really genuinely saved, we're not going to lose our salvation if we disobey God. Because that's been settled a long time ago in the cross. Jesus Christ has done everything for us when He died for us. He forgave our past. He forgives our present. He will forgive our future. Now, that doesn't set us free to do anything we want to do unless we want to serve God. You know, what it does is enable us to be able to live for God and to serve God. And our lives are to be flowing towards God for the rest of our lives. And things will be changing that will help us to become more and more like Jesus. But if, you know, particular acts of sin does not cause us to be lost again. We are secure in our relationship with God. But I tell you what it does do, it destroys our fellowship with God. And we'll feel like we lost again. And if it's based on feelings, then, you know, we'll be separated from Him. And we'll feel that separation. We'll feel that loneliness. We'll feel, you know, because we haven't been doing what God has called us to do. We lose our fellowship and our disobedience. When David sinned against the Lord with adultery with Bathsheba and then had Uriah murdered, the prophet of God came to him and confronted him. And David, when Psalm 51 began to go to the Lord and pray, and he talked about how deep of a sinner he was and how far he'd gotten away from God. And his prayer was, Lord, not to restore his salvation, but to restore the joy of his salvation. Because when we become obedient to God, there's a fellowship that comes. And that fellowship with Him grows, and He abides in us, and we abide with Him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, he says, hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. That's the assurance. He that said, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected and matured. Hereby know that we that are in Him, and He that He has said He abideth in Him, ought Himself also to walk as He also walked. Notice verse 5. Whoever keepeth His word in Him, verily is the word perfected. Doesn't mean we're perfect. It means complete. We're matured. We grow up. We reach its fullest purpose. So as we love God and obey God, and we live in fellowship with God, then that grows until we reach maturity in our relationship with Him. But then understand, there's also not only the foundations of the will of God and the fellowship of obedience. There's a fellowship of obedience that builds that relationship, but there's also fruitfulness to obedience. I mean, good things comes out of it. It bears fruit in our life, you know. James 1:22 through 25 said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then verse 25 said, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The promise of God, if we will obey Him, He will bless us. So what are some of the blessings? We've already talked about, walked through some of those blessings this morning, but, you know, we're going to grow up in Him and whatever. But there's some specific things that the Bible says comes as a result of our obedience. One of those is the Holy Spirit. And this chapter, John chapter 14, Jesus, in backing up to verse 15, said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Then in verse 21, he says, but he who has my commandments and keeps them is one who loves me. But in between verse 15 and verse 21, you hear the promise of Jesus. He said in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another, the Helper, and He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides in you and will be with you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You know, I'm not just going to save you and leave you to live by yourself. I'm going to give you some help. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. And that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me. So the promise is that when we're obedient to God, if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. He says that twice right there in a row. But in the middle of that, He says, I'm going to send you a helper. So how do we live a life of obedience? We receive the promise of God, and we claim that promise that He has given us His Holy Spirit. The Greek word is paraclete, the one who comes beside us as our helper, our comforter, the one who is going to be there to strengthen us and to help us. Because we're not left alone in our ability, but in His. And His commandments are also His enablements. That is, if He's commanded us to do something, He's enabled us to do it. He wouldn't command us if it wasn't possible for us to do it. And one of the reasons it's possible to obey God is because He gives us the Holy Spirit as a gift to help us. Then the second fruit that grows out of being obedient to God is we learn to love other people. The greatest commandment is to love God. The second is likened to it, He said, you shall love one another as yourself. And John chapter 15, verse 12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Now apply all of those principles together. You want to love one another, one other people, and obey that command. It happens simply through obedience to Jesus and claiming the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to do it. And then another one of those assurances, and I'll not spend a lot of time talking about it, but when we're obedient to God, we can have the confidence that our prayers are going to be answered. You know, he said in John 14, verse 13 through 15, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done to you. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, and you shall ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said. Obedience gives us the confident assurance that God will hear our prayers. And if we've proven our obedience, you know, then ultimately what that says to God is he can trust us. And if he can trust us, then to do his will, then he'll answer our prayers, because what we'll be praying for will be within the will of God. The help of the Holy Spirit, answered prayer. And then one of the greatest things of all, the joy of Christ. It becomes ours when we're obedient to him. John chapter 15, verse 10 and 11. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. And these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and your joy might be full. If we obey God, he said, my joy is going to remain in you, and your joy is going to grow up and be complete or full. Well, so many people live miserable Christian lives, and the only reason they're miserable is because they're not obeying God. When we choose to obey God, then his joy begins to grow in us, and we become more joyful all the time. Now, joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is based on relationship with him. And that joy overrides circumstances because it is his joy. If we want to experience the joy of Christ, we obey him. That's the promise. And a lot of people argue they don't obey Christ because they don't understand or because they don't feel like it. Well, I remind you, the Christian life is not lived in the realm of understanding. It is not lived in the realm of feelings or emotions. If it was, and a lot of people live that way because they only come to church when they feel like it, you know, or they only do what they feel like doing. Well, if we're going to be obedient to God, then we obey him whether we feel like it or not. And I assure you, in 47 years of ministry, there's been a lot of times when I've got up on Sunday morning, I didn't feel like coming to church. But I don't remember, unless somebody got on to me bad about something, I don't remember ever a time leaving when I felt worse than I did when I came. You know, I always felt better because I've done what God has asked us to do, and we were obedient to his will in obeying him. So we can choose to obey. And when we choose to obey, we'll find that our feelings will quickly follow, and then even our understanding will most of the time fall into place. But obedience clears the way so that our minds and our emotions can follow him. We choose to obey, we can experience the joy of Christ. So I ask you this morning, do you really love God? Do you really love him? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength? If we love God, it's going to be expressed in obedience. So I would simply ask this morning, in a moment of meditation before we go to the invitation, that you allow God to search your heart. What area of life are you not obedient? Some things in your life you know you need to be more obedient to God, but you made up your mind you don't want to do that, and you hadn't done that, and you're not going to do that, and You need to allow the Holy Spirit to break your heart and say, I'm going to be obedient. What areas are that we need to give to God? And say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to you from this point on. And I'm going to prove my love to you because I'm going to be obedient to you. I don't know what that is for you. The Holy Spirit's going to have to make that application to your life. But I pray that you'll be open to hear his voice. And then when you do, you'll say, God, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to do it. Let's pray together for a few moments. Just ask the Spirit to search your heart for a moment or two. Father, now we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us into what we need to do to be obedient, and that we will choose to obey, and that you will receive glory and we'll receive the joy. In Jesus' name.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.